In your Bibles tonight, we're going to start off in John chapter number 7, the Gospel of John chapter number 7. The title of the message tonight is Willing to Become Willing. And I'd like to ask you tonight if you are willing to become willing. Sometimes we say, yes, I would be willing to do X, Y, or Z. Sometimes we say, well, I would like to be willing to do X, Y, or Z. But do you have a plan to become willing to do X, Y, or Z? The word willing means intent. Do you intend to do X, Y, or Z? It means to have in mind. Do you have in mind to do X, Y, or Z? And it means desire. Do you have a desire? It even means wish. Do you have a wish? Do you have a hope? Do you have a desire to do what it is that the Lord would ask you to do? Notice with me in our text, in John chapter number 7, one verse, look at verse number 17. The Bible says, if any man, now that means me, that means you. I like the any man, whosoever will, everyone, all peoples. I like those kinds of phrases because it includes me, but it also includes me if they're not such a good thing on the end of that. But if any man will do his will, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Do you know there's some things you'll never know unless you will to know them? There's some things you'll never know unless you're willing to do what God wants you to do. Somebody says, I wish God would tell me what to do. And I ask the question, well, are you telling him you'll do whatever he tells you? Or are you requesting that he tell you before you give him your reply? You see, the Bible says that we as Christians are to walk by faith. Without faith, it is impossible, not difficult. It is impossible to please him without faith. And so, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so when God asks for our attention and God asks for our volunteering for a subject, he's not saying, well, would you consider this? I'm going to ask you something. Will you consider it if I ask you? He's asking us to trust him by faith and do what he wants us to do. Consider with me tonight that two young men walk into a classroom. Yeah, it does not matter what the class was teaching. It doesn't matter who the teacher was. But two young men walked into a classroom for the first day of class, and they had two different attitudes. The one young man, they had about the same grade point average. They were a lot similar in a lot of ways. They were in the same grade, had been in the same grade for a number of years. And they walked into a classroom, and the subject matter, one young man said, I'm glad to have this subject. I'm glad to be taught this. I believe there's some things I can learn in this class that will help me in my business life, will help me in my family life, will help me in my professional life. I'm glad that I'm here for this class. The other young man said, this is ridiculous. I'll never use this anyway. Just like I used to think about public speaking. I can't use this anyway. There's no place for it in my life, and it's a bore, and I don't like the teacher, and I don't like the subject, and I don't like the time they gave it to me, and I just don't like it. Let me say, here's two young men in the same class, the same day, the same professor or teacher, the same subject being taught. Do you think they'll both learn the same amount? Absolutely not. Because attitude has to do with it and a willingness to submit to some things. Now, as we read about willingness in the Bible, there's several things that come to mind. In the Old Testament, we see a number of things that were accomplished that never would have been accomplished had some people not been willing to do some things. Think with me in Exodus chapter 35. We're going to begin reading in verse number 21. The Bible says, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets and all jewels of gold, and every man offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. We need to understand that they did these great things, and it came to a place where Moses had to pray and say, time out, hold it, hold it. The offerings are too much. We don't have any place to put the offerings. We have a problem. That problem came, and what a good problem to have. The problem was produced because people had a willing heart. They had a desire to do something more than they had been doing for the Lord Jesus. In Exodus chapter 35 and verse number 29, continuing on the same thought, the Bible says, and the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of the work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. God gave Moses a blueprint, and God gave Moses the idea, the complete plan of doing things. And then God helped these people to develop a willingness to do what God wanted done. They had an attitude, what can I do? What should I do? What does God want me to do? And in their willingness, God did some great and wonderful things. In John chapter 5 and verse number 35, Jesus is speaking to some disciples of John the Baptist, and he said this, he was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Now that tells me that there may be some people here, there may be some people watching tonight, and at one time you were willing, but something happened. And the only thing that can take away your willingness is to get you, if it was genuine willingness, is to get your eyes off the Lord Jesus. And a person who once was willing and today is not willing, I highly suspect that maybe there is a root of bitterness springing up in them that's causing the willingness to withdraw, and now they're not capable of doing the things that they one time did that brought joy and peace and satisfaction to their heart and their life. And now they're steeped in this bitter root that just will not let them enjoy what they once enjoyed because they, at one point, they were willing, but just for a season. And of course, the reason people get bitter, the only way we can get bitter is to get our eyes off the Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12. And then in John chapter 6 and verse number 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? He said, do you intend to go away? Do you have it in mind to go away? Do you desire or wish to go away? Will you go away? You know, Jesus saw this great desertion of his ministry because the things not being popular and people, his disciples getting their eyes off of him and getting it on the angry crowds and the angry mobs and the attitudes of people, and they became unwilling and they began to fall away. And so Jesus asked his closest disciples, will ye also go away? Willingness. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 3, the Bible says, for to their power I bear record, and yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Here we see the churches of Mesopotamia, I believe it was, that were doing a great work for the Lord, Berea all these other churches. And he said, I want you to look, I want the church of Corinth to look at these things. And they did those things because they were, not because they were rich and not because they were smart and not because of this and not because of that. They had one thing really in their favor. They were willing of themselves. Great things. When you look around at the great things that have been done in Christianity through the history, many times it was by simple people. Sometimes even people that were considered complete off the chart as far as their, I mean, if intelligence quotient runs to 150 or whatever, maybe they were about 35. They were just people who were willing. A willing spirit, a willing heart can accomplish what a bank account can never accomplish. A willing spirit can accomplish what a diploma would never accomplish. So we find the Bible testifies that they were willing of themselves. In the same letter to the same church, the Apostle Paul says in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, verse number 12, "And if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." And so we find the Bible says that a willing mind will make up the absence of what we say, "Well, I can't do that because I don't have this." No, the Bible says a willing mind will make up for what you don't have. It'll take us to the next level. If we have a willing mind, then we're willing to give it to the Lord. And then the writer of the book of Hebrews said this in chapter 13 and verse number 18. "Pray for us, for we trust that we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly." Here this writer says, "I intend to live honestly. I have it in my mind to live honestly. I desire to live honestly." And so many things in the work of God start in our heart and in our mind. And when we're willing, it's no limit what God can do through a people who are willing. And now let's go back in the Old Testament for a little bit to the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. And I want to look for just a moment at one of the benefits, or some of the benefits, of being willing. And to keep it in context, we'll go back to verse number 16. And the Bible says, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, and cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." We talk a lot about about obedience. And it's important for a child of God that they be obedient to the authorities that God has placed over them, including God himself. And we need to be obedient. But listen, you'll never be obedient correctly and prosperously until you are willing to be obedient. Forced obedience is not obedience. "My kids would never do that. I'd break their neck if they did that." Well, they may never, as long as you're with them, and you may break their neck if they do. But that's not going to get them very many stars in their crown, because they did it for Dad instead of for the Lord. They did it for fear of that, or fear of the law, or fear of this, or fear of that. And the Bible testifies that we need to be willing. And so now the question comes, and if you haven't figured this question out already, you're behind a little ways. How can I, for me, create or allow God to create in me a willing heart and a willing spirit? I'm talking to people tonight. I'm assuming that I'm talking to saved people. And if you're saved tonight, God wants to use you in unusual fashions. God wants to use you in ways that you never dreamed possible. You never dreamed that God could do some of the things with you. You never dreamed he could do it with anybody, much less with you. In fact, when I think about faith, I think that faith is, number one, believing what God did. Number two, believing that God, if he chose, could do it again. Number three, faith is believing that God could use you to do it. And most of the time, we don't believe he could. We're too short, or we're too tall, or we're too fat, or we're too thin, we're the wrong color. We've been educated in the wrong place, raised on the wrong side of the tracks. We got holes in the bottoms of our shoes, and we just, God could not use us to do that. Well, he could, if you were willing. If you're willing. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Psalms 110. Psalms 110. As we stop and think tonight and consider tonight, how can God give me? And that's, you ought to be asking that question. How can God give me a willing heart and a willing mind? How can I establish a more willing heart, a more willing mind, so that God can use me in greater ways? Excuse me very much. In Psalms 110, notice with me if you will, this is a psalm of David. He says in verse number 3, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth." The Bible says that thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And I believe this, that God would tell us, if we did a thorough search of the subject of willingness, God would tell us that when a believer sees the power of the Lord and realizes that that power is available to them, their heart all of a sudden becomes willing to be willing. Their heart becomes subject to God in such a way that they become willing to be willing. And when we're willing to become willing, we find that God requests of us some things that we wouldn't have thought of doing prior to that. And so as I stop and think about the Lord in the day of His power, I believe that it's emphatically impressed upon us by the Word of God that we are to meditate on the things that God tells us. We are to think about those things. We are to, in times of trouble, the Holy Ghost wants to call those things back to our minds, and we're to go over those things and thrash over those things again and again and again. And so I believe that as we read the Bible, we ought to put ourselves in that position, put ourselves as a viewer, someone who's watching these things happen, so that we can actually see the power of Almighty God. Can you imagine being somewhere? I don't know where you'd have been, but can you imagine being somewhere the day that God said, "Let there be light," and all of a sudden, there was light? I mean, it went from darkness to light because God spoke it. Can you imagine having been there? I have many times thought of the Lord sowing the stars in heaven, in the Milky Way, the different universes and the different galaxies. I've imagined God strolling through heaven. I don't know how He toted them with Him or if He just created them as He went, but He placed the stars in their place, and then He gave them names at some time or another and walked through them. And I've sat and watched Him do that. And you can't, in your mind's eye, watch God do that kind of powerful thing without saying, "Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful to be hooked up to that kind of power?" And that's the kind of power that God wants us to enjoy and that God wants to use to make us a willing people. Have you ever been in the furnace with the three Hebrew children, three Hebrew boys, three Hebrew young men? Have you ever been there? I would say that I was in a corner one day watching that, but I'm not sure it was a square furnace. It might have been a round one, and I couldn't have been in a corner. But in my mind's eye, I've watched these boys drifting in there, being thrown in, cast in there, the Bible says. And I watched the flame and the fires and the heat. I watched the heat destroy the bands that were on them. I watched them look at one another in surprise that they're still alive. I watched them as they discovered there's somebody else already here. And they understood and found out that it was the Lord Jesus. And as I watched that, I say, wow, what a place. What a God. What a lesson for us to learn. And my heart turns more toward this God every time I watch them. I watch when they open up the furnace and call those boys out. I watched the surprised look on the king's face when he said, did not we cast 3 men bound into the fire? But I see 4 loose, walking in the fire. And the 4th has a form like unto the Son of God. I see them as they march out of there. The band's all gone. The ropes that tied them or chains, whatever it was, completely gone from their life. And there wasn't even any smell of the smoke upon their robes. What a God. What a God. And thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Have you ever walked behind David when he went up against Goliath? I've been so close I had to duck for the slingshot for fear it hit me when it came around. I watched him reach down, pick up 5 certain smooth stones, casting a few aside, said, that won't work, and that will. And dropped them into his shepherd's scrip and walked out to face the giant. You can't have been there and it not affected your life. The miracles of Jesus. When Jesus went to a funeral, oh, what a difference it was when Jesus was at the funeral. You're walking through town and here come a young man who's the only son of his mother being carried by some folk, and Jesus stopped the parade and said, hey, spoke to the young man, and he got off that briar and Jesus delivered him to his mother. The miracles of Jesus. When he stood at the tomb of Lazarus and lifted his eyes toward heaven and said, Father, I know that you hear me whenever I speak. And then he turned and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he who was dead leaves the tomb and comes out. And Jesus says, now y'all loose him and let him go. And I've watched how those people so gently unwrapped him for fear that maybe he would be damaged by their efforts to free him. And then a little bit later, I see Jesus at the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And they're eating a meal. And Lazarus sat across the table from Jesus. Now, I've seen that. That doesn't happen but by the power of God. Your own salvation, if you're saved tonight, is as great a miracle as ever been provided for the entire world. That miracle means more to you, ought to mean more to you than all the other miracles put together. Because without you personally being saved, the miracle of your salvation, without that, all the other miracles only add to your condemnation. You knowing all those stories and running through all those thoughts and thinking about all those things and maybe laughing at them from time to time. If there hasn't been a time when you trusted Christ as your Savior, believed that He really did lay His life down and take it back up again, you put your confidence in that because you knew you were going to hell. If that hasn't happened in your life, every miracle that Jesus did in His entire life only adds condemnation to your life in eternity, if you don't trust Christ. The answered prayers. Have you ever seen Jesus do something that no doctor could do? You ever see Jesus do something the doctors say couldn't be done? That's what God wants to use. He wants you to remember those things so that you'll have a willing heart. One other place in the scriptures tonight, go with me to the book of Psalms, chapter number 40. Very familiar portion of scripture, but maybe we can see something that we haven't seen for a while in this. Again, another Psalm of David. I don't know why I appreciate the Psalms of David more than some of the other writers and the ones where it doesn't tell us who's writing. I wonder sometimes who wrote that, and it ought not to matter because God's the author of it. But here's another one of David's Psalms in chapter 40, beginning in verse number 1. Very familiar. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. Thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I were to declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I wonder tonight, have we come to a place where our delight is to do the will of God? God says in the day of his power, we will be made a willing people. God didn't put those wonderful stories in here just to make the book a certain size. God put them in here to give us faith, to give us courage, to give us confidence, and to give us a willing spirit and heart. And so tonight the question is, are you willing to become willing? Are you willing to search the scriptures with the idea that you believe those scriptures can make you more willing than you've been in the past? I believe that time is short. I certainly know with reasonable certainty that more of my ministry is behind me than before me. And I don't want to ever tell God no. I won't do that. I don't want to ever tell him that. And to have a willing heart, I'm going to have to stay close to the power of God. Watch that and rehearse that and live that and notice that and study that so that my heart is always willing to be made willing. Let's bow our heads, please.